I was thinking about it today, and I thought, what was I preaching back under in 03 and 04? And so I went and dug out my notebooks all the way back to, you know, Teresa, she was gone most of the day, so I had some time instead of being lonesome. It's lonesome when she's out there, man. We've been together a long time, like 4 decades, you know. But anyways, I went all the way back to 04, and I thought, I'm preaching the same thing. I mean, I go through my notes, man. There's nothing changed. Nothing. You know why? Because the Word don't change. God's character don't change. The world may change. People may change. The church may change. But I'm telling you, if we don't change like God don't change, He said, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. And the more that we take on His character, His nature, the more that we take it on, the more God's predictable. God is predictable. He always causes us to try. Always. He's predictable. I mean, I was thinking about it today, and a lot of people's oppressed. And see, we're in a place, if you're born again, now if you ain't born again, you're liable to be subject to oppression of the devil, depression and lies of the devil. And I mean, if you ain't in the shield of faith, if you ain't in walking with God, then you're out from under the umbrella of protection and honor and glory. A lot of people, they're upset, different things, you know, all of that. I'm not talking about the elect. I'm talking about in general. But they're walking without God. They're walking without God. They are subject to the lies of the devil. They will believe his lies. They won't know truth. Well, just like, you know, people in the Bible, it says that there will come a time when they will call good evil and evil good. We've seen it. You've seen it. They've talked to. I've been accused of sacrificing black cats here. Cats on the altar. I've been accused of a lot of stuff here that was not true. And you know, one time I was telling God, you know, and I said, God, help me never to be on the side to where I side with evil, where I yield to evil. But you know what? All of those things God told me, He said, don't react to those things. He said, that's what persecution is. When they call you evil and you're doing good, that is true Christian persecution. And somebody was telling me that, well, people's just oppressed. I said, I know, I've got the answer. I said, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. To know to do the right thing and don't do it is sin. That's the Bible says it. The wages of sin is death, destruction. You know, so I said, you know, I don't have to wonder why some Christians are oppressed and some ain't. I don't have to wonder why. Their mind is not on the Lord. They're not going after. You cannot be in faith and walking in the Spirit and be burnt out. The only way I'm ever burnt out is when I burn out. When I lay down praying and fasting and standing in faith, believing God, we've got an ample supply in this building right now of singers, of guitar players, of, we got it already. When, where are they at? Mark 11. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. Well, I don't have to see it. You don't have to see it. And so people say, well, you know, that's what faith is. The Bible says faith is the substance of things you hope for. And the evidence, it is the singers, it is the guitar players. I will have in this ministry an ample supply of everything that we never lack. Lack is not in the kingdom here. Hallelujah. I went down on the streets one time, and the Lord told me to go on the street. See, the thing about it is, as Christians, if you want have a fulfilled life, or non-Christian, if you want to have a fulfilled life, a life that is satisfying on the inside, regardless of what you face on the outside, you must find the will of God. You must find the will of God, and then you must endeavor with everything in your power to set out to do the will of God, and then the power and grace and anointing of God comes in and helps you do what you don't have the ability to do. And so, anyways, I went on the streets down there, and I really didn't want to go. I found out in my walk with the Lord, when He tells me to love my enemies, when I really want to get even with them, is not really what I want. My flesh. You know, when He's told me before, you know, how to overcome evil, I found out through the Word of God how to overcome evil. I've already overcome. We're in a place of victory. But it says you overcome it, you subdue it with good. You subdue it by being good. Not being like them or like people or like the enemy. You know, staying in a right spirit. And if you don't fast and pray, keep your mind on the Lord. You know, there's a lot of gossipers in the body of Christ and they're unfulfilled. They can't help it. They just talk about people all the time. Talk about what inconveniences them. If anybody has a reason in the church to complain, it would be the pastor. It would be him or her. You know? But that place of victory, there's no complaining because they know, well, I went on the streets down there and it took up my Friday night. It took up Friday night. I'm a young man. I'm 28 years old, you know, And I got saved, and I'd set out, man, and my family's got straightened out, man, and so I'm wanting to go. We go out and eat on Friday night. That's about all the time we went out and eat. So I had the money to do. But that took it up, and I'm like, oh, man, my Friday night, you know, my Friday night. I thought I can't do it on Saturday because I got to go to church on Sunday, so I'm not going to stay up all night. See, why am I telling you that? See, that started fulfilling me. To do the will of God. So I told God, I said, God, not my will like Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. God, not my will, but I want your will to be done. God, if this is your will, then I'm going to do it, God. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you'll take care of my family. And God, give me grace. God, give me grace. My marriage just got better and better and better, and everything got better. You know, well, this guy comes down on the street. He starts talking to me, and a tear run down his face. He said, man, God told me to come out here. I done forgot 4 or 5 months earlier, told me, he said, what are you doing? I said, I said the Lord spoke to me and told me to come down here on the streets of Onion and preach the gospel. You know, and he started saying, well, God told me to do it. God told me to do it. And I told him, I said, well, look, man, I said, I got to do it. You know, I said, just ask God to forgive you. I said, but be willing next time, because now he had to send me. He had to send me down here to do what he needs done. It's got nothing to do with me and you. It's got to do with God's ultimate plan. He has a reason that he wanted the God. He has a reason he wants this church functioning and functioning efficient. And we can believe for it and have it according to the Word of God. They're coming from the north, south, east, and west. So I told that dude, I said, well, I'm going to preach the gospel here. I said, I would be in disobedience to the Lord if I didn't. And I told him, I said, just, you know, repent and be willing to be willing. I said, I know how it is when you got to figure it out. I work 5 days a week. I go in at 5 o'clock. I get off at 5 and 6 o'clock. I have to tote sheetrock. That's what I did at that time. Long, hard days. You tote 400 or 500 pieces of sheetrock in one day. You and the crew, 2 or 3 trucks. You tired. You real tired when you come in on Wednesday night and everything. But you're determined to do the will of God because you realize that greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. And I have not found not anything in 30 years that can keep me from doing the will of God. Not one thing. But the only thing that could stop me is me quit. Me let down on my dedication to the things of God and all of that stuff, and my zeal will begin to leave me. That's the way it is. I don't care if you're a preacher, pastor, whatever you are, Christian. You've got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You've got to encourage yourself in the things of God. You've got to encourage yourself. Ephesians, put that Ephesians 6 up there, Beth. I got it wrong. That's not it. Just take it down. Anyhow, wherever it's at, it says that we have been seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means we have been seated together with Him in authority, in honor, not a place of oppression and wore out and defeat. No, it is a place of strength and victory. Somebody asked me one time, they said, well, you know, if your wife wants to get a divorce, your faith can't stop her. I said, you're wrong. I said, I don't believe that. See, y'all are kind of, now my faith conviction is, my faith in God, He's able to keep that I commit to Him, and I'm not going to hear that. Right? That way I keep my faith, my shield of faith, and then if a nice looking hunk drives through, you know, the hair hanging out the back of the Mustang and he looks good to her, he can't have her. If he gets her, he'll bring her back. Why? My faith. I know that sounds radical, but that's Bible. That's Bible faith. And I believe Bible faith has kept my marriage together for at least 30 years. I believe that it's kept the ministry for 30 years. Faith that God, I mean, I keep going year after year, and I keep saying that scripture, don't be discouraged in small beginnings. Don't be discouraged in small beginnings. See, God takes pleasure in small beginnings because that's where God builds the people of God, in small. He starts in the small things. Then He works His way bigger and bigger in our heart and lives until we are doing exploits. The Bible says those that do know their God, you know who that is? That's us. It says those that do know their God will do exploits. Hallelujah. Somebody was accusing me of something one time. I come to Teresa and I said, "Black God, let's go. I need you to go with me. I'm going to get this straightened out." I blah, blah. I was all upset, Dunny. And she looked at me and she said, "Well, did you do it?" And I said, "Well, no, you know I didn't do it." I said, "But they're talking like I did. They're accusing me like I did. And I'm not going to put up with that." She said, "If you didn't do it," she said, "don't try to defend yourself. God's your defender." And you know what? I laid that down right then, and I thought I thought I was fixing to give the enemy some fuel. I was fixing to give him a right to come on over here and enter into my life, and I've done nothing. They accused President Trump of everything under the sun. Not true. Proved out. Facts. That's calling evil good and good evil for to gain power. See, the enemy wants power over you. He wants power over your mind. He wants power over your emotions. He wants power so he can get you to lay down the shield of faith. He can get you to lay it down because that is what quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. So you can't let church people discourage you. Don't let church people discourage you. Don't let those that maybe ain't up and on your level of faith discourage you because they talk a little carnal maybe or anything. We've been there, we've been there, done that, but we kind of boost them along, and I wouldn't say that, and I wouldn't, you know, I'd change that confession. Just, you know, we boost them along, praise the Lord, talking to somebody today, and he'd been saved a long time. I felt like I'd pulled up into the devil's den. You ever just feel the spirits? And so this person started saying, "Well, you know, I brought up talking about politics, and I brought up coming to church. That's all I done. That got the ball rolling, cause they believe that they just them and Jesus in their living room. You are wrong. I told that guy, I said, listen to me. I said, there ain't nobody going to convince me that the Bible ain't true anymore. There ain't nobody going to convince me that God has changed his mind about going to church. There ain't nobody going to convince me that the way of transgressor is hard. Those backslid Christians are having it hard. Hard in their marriage. Hard in their finances. Hard at work. Can't get along with nobody. Everybody's against them. Everybody pulls out in front of them. Everybody. It ain't everybody. Cause when you in a right spirit, nothing moves you. You're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your leaf don't wilt, and whatever you do prospers. I've got some 68:19's mine. He said it says that God daily loads us up. You can put that up there, Beth. I think you got it. Put that up there. But you're in a place of victory already. You see, and now it's just begun. I'm telling you, it was a landslide. I'm not into politics, but I am into the kingdom. I am into righteousness. I know what the Bible says. It says when the righteous are in authority, and righteousness prevailed last night. Buddy, I mean righteousness prevailed last night. Hallelujah. It says, but when the ungodly are in authority, the people mourn. Hallelujah. And so God brought freedom. He answered the prayers of the righteous on this earth that was believing God and binding the assignments of the enemy and prophesying over the one that God had brought on the scene and raised up for this hour to lead our nation to God. And he brought freedom to the church, all people of faith. He don't point out just Christians. He brought freedom to the church that was fixing to come under such oppression. If this other administration had took over, they would have been in oppression of the church. They would have been they was trying to shut it down, shut God out. But this opened the door for God. Hallelujah. God did it. Hallelujah. But the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. If you're not satisfied, if you're lost without God, you're without God and you are without hope. The only hope you got is right in front of you right now. You're living right now. You're living right in the moment. And if something good or something fun on TV or something happens, you're happy. But when you leave that entertainment, all of that is gone. When it's all stripped away, it's just you. It's just you. It's just you laying there at night. It's just you trying to survive in the day, thinking that maybe things will change. The only thing that's going to change is your heart. You got to change your heart and get in there with the Lord. And if you are right with the Lord and you're giving in, don't back up and start listening to secular music and all that stuff. If you've been dedicated, you've done learned, you're done walking in some victory, then don't go back. Don't go back down that road and let the enemy tell you you just need some relief. Don't take no spiritual vacations. People take spiritual vacations. You know, I told Teresa the other night sitting on the couch, I said, how many hours do I spend in church? Y'all figure how many. Y'all here? Right? How many hours do we spend doing other things? Quadruple. And so in the time that I spend on the kingdom, I'm going to make it priority, and that honors God. And God honors those that honor him. He says, those that honor me, I will honor. You want God to honor you, man. I mean, it's like that's humbling ourselves before the Lord that he can exalt us in due season. He says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us up with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Hallelujah. Daily loads us up with benefits. Every day loading us up with benefits. You know, and I was thinking about it today. I thought, you know, people's criticized me. I'm not a broke man. But I'm telling you, I was 27 broke with a bunch of broken dreams. And I found Jesus Christ, and he is El Shaddai. He is more than enough. I mean, he took it all on him that I can have it here and then have eternal life. Scripture bears it out. So I set out and I said, bless God, whatever God says I can have in there. I told a guy the other day, he's a dreamer. He's up there. We did some work for him, did some doors for him Monday and Tuesday. And he told me 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, he was 30, about in his, he's 46 now. So anyways, you figure about 40. And so he's on fire, boy. He's on fire for God, man, the back then. You know, and I mean, when I'd get around him, he'd stir me. I'd start preaching. I couldn't help it. It was really great, and he was like a sponge. But he told me, he said, one day, I'm going to build a church. He said, I'm going to write a check and build a church. He said, I don't care how much it costs. Back then, that's what he said. Well, me and Travis was on the job the other day, and he said, I'm gonna build a church. He said, I don't care if it's $1,250,000. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, he might be talking to me. We've been believing for 20 years for church, right? And I told him, I said, glory to God. I said, you know what? I said, don't lose that. That you got is from the Lord. I said, don't lose that no matter what. I said, because God will bring it to pass. I said, you will write a check and build a church. I said, I'm not prophesying to you, but I almost want to. 6 years, you still got it. So don't start out running and then 5 years later start choking up. Don't start backing up, choking up. The very thing that got you going and got you off running and seeing signs, wonders, and miracles was your aspiration after God. It was your faith growing in God. So I told that guy today, I wanted to tell him, look, just quit, man. Just quit. Don't go to church. Don't even tell us you're a Christian anymore. I didn't, though. I said, well, the only problem I got with that is God's word's the same right now as it was back under 30 years ago. I said, I've learned some things and learned how to trust God, learned how to pray, and learned how to effectively humble myself and walk through some things. I've been through the fire, been through the flood, but he brought me out to a wealthy place. That's your scripture. And I told him, I said, and I'm not going to abandon those that don't know what I know. I said, I'm not going to do it. I said, I won't do it. I said, the church is more important today than it's ever been. I told my pastor I wanted to come up there and preach. I just started having a desire to go to my home church and preach, you know. And well, I'm trying to encourage him. I said, I'm telling you, I'm coming. Oh, you are? I said, I'm coming. I said, and I'm not going to talk to nobody. So I went to fasting. And I began to thank God for that open door. And y'all seen what happened. I ain't talked to nobody. Well, one of the things that God, I'm just saying this for a reason. I had a desire to go back to where I was raised and see them that's done grew up. And now they're running the church. Those I was raised with that were even younger than me. They're doing a lot of things in the church. They're the backbone of that church now. They was raised up. One of their foundational scriptures for their church is Isaiah. He said that you'll raise up the foundations of many generations. You'll be called the repairer of the breach. That got in me back then. I thought this church, and then they had a sign. We need to get one. We need to get us a sign. You know, we coming in here getting trained up, geared up, and we need to put us a sign out there on the road that says, you're entering the mission field. They done it. I pulled out there and I read that sign and I thought, glory to God, I'm a warrior, man. I'm entering out into the battlefield, man. I'm going to win people to Jesus, man. I'm going to encourage everybody I can, you know, to stay strong. Stay in your church. Go back to church. Get back right. You'll be happy. Get back happy. Make yourself happy again. Go after God again. If you want to get happy again, you want vision again, then get up and lay down some things and go after God again. I've tried the lake. I've tried the flea market. I've tried... But I'm telling you, there's nothing like the satisfaction of God in a human being. Boy, when you're satisfied with God, I mean, it just helps you in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, you enjoy your work. Somebody told me the other day, they said, are you going to retire? I said, I just don't want to leave my guys, you know what I mean? I said, I like it. You know, I enjoy it. I don't want to, you know, I said, I could, But I just don't really want to. I said, besides that, it's good for, you know what? Used to, I come up and lied and everything else to get out of work. Called in sick, and I wasn't sick. I'm going fishing. Called in sick because I just want to spend the day with my wife. You ain't going to tell you about, well, I just love her so much. And I mean, I just can't come and haul sheetrock today, boss. I just love her. I would like to get inside her. I mean, you know, I just love her. So you lie. Call them up. I'm sick. I don't know what happened. It just hit me last night all of a sudden. I did it. I absolutely did it. And now I'm like, nah, man. God told me, you know, if I would praise Him for my job, if I would praise Him, that I would enjoy the works of my hands, that I would enjoy my work. I enjoy it. I quit confessing. I hate my job. I hate this job. I hate it. The Bible says that you're killing yourself with that. Proverbs, right? Death, that's right. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Hallelujah. So, you know, you got to get sick and tired of being defeated. You got to get sick and tired of things not happening good for you. You've got to get nobody. I mean, people can pray for you all day long. Pray God. Sandy prayed. I think she thought Jesus was going to come back before we got saved. She prayed. I'm sure she had opportunity. Good Lord, Scott, he's stoned every time I see him. Golly, he's just stoned. He's getting worse. He's more jealous now than he was. Blah, blah. I'm sure she had the opportunity, but she kept on. She kept on, and you know what? God sent us where she was going to church. God gave two little heathens to her. And now look, she's serving under these heathens, it used to be. Right? Walking with us, serving with us, teaching kids, teaching these teenagers. Enjoy the ride. Teenagers, that's great. She's got an anointing. Because I'd go back there and I'd have a paddle and a belt and you ain't eating, no drinking, no partying back here. We're, you know, vital. So they blessed to have Sandy. I don't know if I got over to them or not. Oh, Jesus, help them. I'm like, get them, God. They smarter than that. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. But you know what? Praise the Lord. God is a good God. He's daily loading you up with you. I mean, He's working on your behalf right now, and you can't even see it. He's done went ahead of you in your future. Hallelujah. Some of you is going to preach the gospel. Some of you is going to go to the prisons, the highways, and the Bible. I'm telling you, when God bursts it and you go after it, supernatural comes, and I would have never dreamed that I would preach in Blount County. I'm just being honest. I have to go run a service this morning and went down there and a little old lady, they'd pulled a cord, Jenny, and unlocked it from their garage door. And she said, how much you going to charge me? And I said, well, you can afford it. She said, I can't. I said, yes, you can. Is that all it was? I said, that's all it was. I said, I'm not going to charge you anything. I'm getting in the truck, and I said, I can do that, God. I said, I can do it. I can do that. I can just not charge nobody nothing. And then I go, and I thought, oh, yeah, them dudes are gathering down at McDonald's down there. It's kind of like the Redeemed Bunch. It's a different church up behind that I went down there one morning, dropped in, got me a biscuit, and they're having Bible study in there. And I'm like, wow, man. So I go in there and sit down for a few minutes with them. And I thought, I'll just run over there. So I go over there, and I'm just standing there, and I'm eating a biscuit, and they're getting ready and all of that stuff. And this guy comes over there, and he said, hey, I'm glad you joined us. I said, well, look, I said, I can't stay long. I said, I just seen y'all last week, and I just thought I'd drop in for a minute. And he said, well, come over here and sit down here a minute. And I thought, well, I said, okay. So I sat down there, and he opened his book up. He said, who are you? And I said, well, my name's Scotty Weston. He said, you from here? I said, yeah, I've been around Blount County all my life. He said, well, where you live? I said, I'm over in Bluntsville. I said, I'm a pastor. Oh, God, you're a pastor. We got to have you. We ain't got nobody in that district. over there. He said, we have a pastor's thing every, you know, and he said, here, give me your number. He wrote it all down, wrote my number down. He said, I need you to come down here and preach. I want, you know, would you come down here and minister? I'm like, you don't even know me, man. And I said, well, sure, man. I said, you know, because I'm standing there and I'm thinking, this ain't no coincidence. You know, that I'm right there at that time and I'm just standing there and, you know, looking and that ends up being that way. See, the Bible says that your gifts, I'm not talking about me, your gifts will make room for you. They will open doors for you. They will put you in the right place. That's why we want to walk in the will of God so that we're in the favor of God and then we end up having doors open that wouldn't normally open, whether it's financial breakthroughs or it's marital breakthroughs or it's spiritual breakthroughs. I mean, breakthroughs are all on this path, our walk with God. They're all on it. He daily loads us up with benefits, even the God. I mean, I just did a job Monday and Tuesday, and I made more money than I could make in 2 months. Travis said it took us 9 hours. I'm not telling you how much. Get your own. But God, I came from 20. I'm telling you, don't just listen where I'm at. Listen to what. You don't need money. You need what I know. You need to know the one, how I know him and how you're getting to know him so that you can have him in his fullness. So that you can have your supply. See, money people can't afford you when you're believing God. People don't have the means to take care of you. I told that guy up there at that building, he talking about doing this and that. And he said, he walked in there and told Travis, he said, look. He said, look how good it looks. He said, I'll never use nobody else again. Look how good it looks. Well, the Bible said, let another man's mouth praise you and not your own, right? You know, and I told him, I looked at him and I said, you know, the Bible says, the Bible says that God gives us all things richly. I said, so we can enjoy it. I said, some Christians have a problem because they've not renewed their mind to that. I said, I went to God one time. I said, I'm standing in amongst some people. I said, and I'm going to ask God for a pontoon. I said, and they told me, God said he'd supply all your needs. I said, I done went and looked the word need up. It says wants. what Jesus said, what the Greek meaning of that word. And I told him, I looked at him and I said, well, he said he'll supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I said, I reckon he owns all the pontoons on this planet. The earth and everything in it belongs to him, the Bible says. So he owns everything on the planet. The gold and silver is his, so I might as well ask him if he'll give me some of it. So I told him, I said, well, I have need of a pontoon. I need one. I said, I got that out there. He'll supply all of my needs. And I told him, I said, no, I asked God for a pontoon. I said, I've had a bunch of pontoons. I said, but I never let the pontoons have me. I said, I believed him to increase me at work. I believed him when I was driving for the other man. I wasn't working for myself. But I mean, he prospered me far as he could there without hurting people. And he had to go on and move me. He had to move me out where it could be unlimited what he wanted to do. Hallelujah. And the Bible, you know, I believe that you find what the will of, whatever you can believe God for, you can have. When you delight yourself in the Lord, you're not going to be asking for stupid stuff. You're going to be saying, God, is it okay if I have this tractor? God, is it okay if I buy this crock pot? God, just the right crock pot? Do I need a bigger one, God? We don't eat that much. Find out. He'll tell you about a crock pot. Hallelujah. I told that guy, I said, you know what? I said, my daddy was a farmer. I said, there were 17 of us. I said, my daddy didn't have no money that I can remember. I said, and all he had was mules, had 40 acres. Now, I was Aiden's age, and I had a scratcher tooth off of, some of you don't even know what that is. But it's a tooth that they plow with the mules. I bet Dean knows what it is. Well, that was my hoe that I hoed tomatoes and stuff, you know, at Aiden's age. There wasn't no questions. I mean, that's what you did. You get up, go. and everything. I said, I got born again. I said, my daddy didn't know Jesus like I do. I don't know if he knew him or not. Some say he did, some say he didn't. I don't know. You know, I really don't know. You know, God does, but that's not my point. But when I got saved, I broke the generational curse. I found out that things were handed down from generations by the fathers, handed down curses and different things. And I come under the blood of Jesus, and I started learning about them. And God, if you want to know about the kingdom, God will hook you up. Now, you got to hook up and don't look at them what they look like. I mean, like the prophet Kim Clement prophesied this president, the second term of Trump back under, I don't know how many years ago, he's dead now, and prophesied it. And it came to pass years later. I was telling that guy, but anyhow, I told him, I said, you know what? I said, I believe my daddy desired to have tractors but didn't have the money. I said, I believe it with everything in me. Any man got any sense that's having to plow with mules and stuff and the kids and all of that, he could have tractors, they would do it. I believe they would do it. And you know what I did? I released my faith to God. I said, God, I want every tractor that my father was supposed to have. I want all the tractors my father supposed to have. And I told him, I said, my grandson standing up there the other day, and he said, Papa, you got all these tractors. I said, yeah, the Lord blessed me with them. He said, oh, how many you got, Papa? And I said, I don't know, but don't forget them two, one I got over there, one I got over there. And he counted them, he said, Papa, you got five tractors. Some of y'all's like, well, give me one, get your own. Bless God, I've released my faith. I work with my own hands. I give, I sow, I tithe, and it works. And people can criticize tithing all they want. And you can set in unbelief in it if you want to. But I'm telling you right now, take it from a 27-year-old that thought it too, that the church was all about your money. And I heard it on the radio. Preacher said it. I went home and I said, God, when I get home, if that's in the Bible, then I'm going to do it, God. That's going to be your will. And so I got my fingers crossed because I did that a lot. Crossing my fingers. So I crossed my fingers and opened the Bible, and there it was. And I thought, man, it's in there. That was a letdown. Now I got to carry $22 a week to church. $22. And people gripe now, you know, oh, I don't want to pay me but $20 an hour. I told one guy, I said, 20? Good Lord, man, I started out $2.30. And you're griping about 20, man, you ought to bust them doors open early, clock in early and get you extra 6 minutes every week. You know? And so, the Lord, the Bible, I got a hold of this. I said, he's daily loading me up. He's not just loading me up. He's daily loading. That's mine, God. See, you got to take this word personally from God to you. When you're born again, you got to say, that's mine. I don't belong to the church. That's my word, God. And then you take it, and I'm telling you right now, tithe. Does this church need your money? I don't know. I hadn't checked. That's not my duty. That's not my job. My duty is to come break it down right here. My duty, my assignment from the Lord is to lay hold of his promises and then go tell it on the housetop. Go preach it in the highways and the come to the church and make disciples. See, it's not just about me preaching a sermon. The Bible tells me to make disciples. That's what I'm doing. A disciple is a pupil, a learner. Hallelujah. And so, you know, don't be discouraged because things ain't working out. Sow your seed. Plant your seed. I bring an offering just about every Sunday to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if I own my own business. Oh, you don't understand. I didn't own my own business back there. I didn't make enough to make men's meat back there. You're seeing me in the blessing of it. You're seeing me walk in the results of the integrity of doing it when I couldn't afford it looking. And to give it all I've got at times. Everything. Give it all. And you think, surely God. Somebody told me one time, they said, God would not ask you to give everything you've got away, would he? I said, yes. I said, but God is needing the seed that you sow so he can bring you up to where you never lack. You never lack. Hallelujah. If I was a teenager, but God know what I know now. I mean, I tell Travis all the time, you're ahead of me, son. I got saved when I was 27. You've been in it a long time, longer than me. You've been in this thing. You're ahead of me. I was 32, starting to learn to tithe and all of this and getting through the rough waters and all of that stuff. I said, you're already swimming in it. And the thing about it is, you know, you don't have to go a long, drawn-out thing. You can take what somebody is ministering, knowing it's inspired by the Lord. You like it, you pick up on it and all that, and you can go out and do it and get the results that took them 20 years to get in a week. It's not got nothing to do with the longevity. It's got to do with our heart. And I started to... Lord spoke to me, I'm going to go to the jail. I think it come up in my heart or something. And so I was working for a couple of my brothers. And I was just excited about it. That's when I learned that everybody ain't going to jump on your vision. That's when I started learning that you can lay down a vision because people don't jump on the bandwagon and applaud you. See, everybody's not going to see what you see in the vision you have for your life or ministry or whatever. Everybody won't see it. And anyways, they're like, well, God will use me for it. Yeah, I've been in a long time. I've been saved a long time. Well, you know what? I took them to jail with me later. I was like, I left and I thought, oh, they're probably right, you know. I felt discouraged, really. I just felt kind of discouraged. I'm like, yeah, he's probably right, you know. God wouldn't use me. And then the devil gets on it. God wouldn't use me. He'd use him before. Well, you know what? He wouldn't leave. So I went to my pastor and I said, I believe I'm called to preach. He said, I need you to go home with me Sunday. I thought, go home with you, man. That's weird. That's weird. Pastor wanting you to go home with him next Sunday. I did. I thought, that's weird. I said, well, whatever. Then he goes up there and he's going to ride a horse on Sunday. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, he shouldn't be riding a horse on Sunday. I was all religious, see. Well, you know what he done? He took me to the jail, Jenny. And he got me started at the jail. That's what he done. Bless God, and it lasted 3 or 4 years. I went 3 or 4 years to the jail down there, praise God. But you know what? I mean, I was just excited about it, hallelujah. And you know, I thought, man, I got to give up my nap on Sunday. I had to, look, salvation, you don't have salvation without sacrifice. You won't get the blessing without sacrifice some way. You won't walk in the fullness of the blessing without sacrificing some things. But the things you sacrifice, the blessing will outweigh the sacrifices. It'll outweigh the you laying down your own will and saying, God, not my will, yours be done. That sacrifice right there, you're having to sacrifice. You're sacrificing your will. You're sacrificing what you want to do for what you know God wants to do. And God looks at that and God said, promotion time for that one. Promotion time for that one. God sees every sacrifice that every Christian makes towards him. And he says he sees every evil thing that you do towards somebody. The Lord told me one time, he said, don't try to get vengeance. He said, you'll be more twisted than they are. He said, because you're right with me. He said, vengeance belongs to me. I will take care of them. I'll take care of them. But now his justice is mercy and grace for a long time. You know? So don't let things discourage you. Don't let anything discourage you. Dream. I mean, fast and pray and get before the Lord, cry out and say, God, what do you want me to do for you, God? What is it you want me to do, God? God, what is your will for my life? Lord, teach me how to prosper. Teach me how to prosper spiritually. Ask him these things. He wants you to talk to him just like you would a friend. Just like you would a friend. Go to a friend. How do you fast, man? You know, I mean, you know how to fast. He wants you to come to him. Come to Him and say, God, teach me. And if He don't speak to you just by the Spirit right then, guarantee you somewhere down the line, you'll run across somebody and they'll start on that whatever you've asked Him for. Or you'll hear a sermon on whatever you've asked Him for. Or you'll open the Bible up, you'll be like, fasting? Fasting. It's fasting. There it is, fasting. Fasting. Fasting's a dying art today. I mean, Jensen Franklin's real big on it once a year, I guarantee you. But look at his church. Look at the impact those people are making on this world. They fast. I mean, 21-day fast every year, you know. I've heard people, how does Jensen Franklin think he is? A born-again believer that can't even believe that God would use him in the mega way he is. Just a country boy like us. Just country folk like us that fell in love with Jesus and has a burning desire to do the will of God. And God takes that and begins to unfold the plan. I don't care who it is. We're worldwide. I'm amazed. I mean, I'm absolutely amazed. So I told that guy, don't go to church evidently because it gets on people's nerves. Not to talk to y'all about it. Oh, church, y'all are like, yeah, oh, glory to God, yes. Church is the best thing, blah, blah, blah. Now you get somebody that ain't going to church out there and they're already under conviction of the Lord. Well, you know, man, Jesus. I mean, you just turn them right off. $100 bill couldn't make them happy right then. You know, and I told that person, I said, I don't care what happens. I said, Jesus Christ is coming back after a glorious church, a strong church, a unified, called out, and they're come out, and they're coming together. I said, there's power in unity. There's power in number, hallelujah, in the kingdom of God. I said, and I'm not going to change. This culture can change. I've even heard it that there's going to be home churches. Well, maybe they are. I don't know. They was home churches back there in the book of Acts, but they grew so big, how are they going to get in your living room with 3,000 people getting saved every day? So they had to do something, right? They probably met out in the middle of the wilderness. I don't know what they did, but they started gathering together and coming together. Jesus even told them, he said, go in the upper room and go up there. Y'all get together. He said, get in one mind and one accord. They were in one mind and one accord. He said, and wait for the promise. That's what he tells us today. Get in agreement with me. Get in agreement with the body of Christ. Get in there. And you know what? We're supposed to lay our lives down for one another. No greater love than a man lay down his life for his friend. No greater love. I was thinking about it when I was going to church up there. And I would see somebody having hardship, whether it's physically or, you know, work-wise, and I would jump in there. I'd jump in there, I'm here, man, let me help you. And then I would see those, they're looking and they're like, I can get out of here before they call on me. We ain't got none of them here, don't think. Might be. Shoe fits, wear it. I got the glory and they didn't. I got the promotion from the Lord, they didn't. I got the positions from the Lord, they didn't. I got promoted at church. I was my pastor's spiritual counselor. That's unreal to me. But you know what? My heart was for him. My heart, I heard a sermon where they talked about how when they held Moses' arms up and they was winning. And then when his arms got tired and went down, they'd start losing. So they held his arms up. And I took that sermon and I thought, that's my pastor. That's my leader today. That's the one. And I thought, I'm going to be for him. I'm never going to think evil of him. Prayed God. I even had to repent about the horse bit. Like you ain't supposed to do nothing on Sunday. Because I found out that the Sabbath's Saturday. And I'd been doing a lot of stuff on Saturday. That's the Sabbath, Jewish calendar. Sunday's Monday. Sunday's the first of the week. Then I had to repent for a lot of things. But the Lord told me, he said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. He said, I'm not on one day. He said, I'm every day. I'm with you always. So I started learning some things, you know, and I'm like, man, praise God. And today I will not think not one evil thought toward my leaders, my pastor, or any other leader. Now they get in the wrong, I won't follow them, but I'll let them go. You know, I'll let them go. You go do your own thing, praise the Lord. But you keep yourself after God, hallelujah. So I told that guy, and he says, well, I got to go. And I said, yeah, I figured you did. Adios, man. I needed to be gone myself. I didn't mean no ill will. But you know, if somebody's warped up, help them. Help them get unwarped. Say, no, the Bible says, and we can't change because the world changes. People change. The Bible says come out from among the world and be separate, right? Hallelujah. The Bible says that the blind leads the blind. We was going in a ditch with our country. Real clear. The blind leading the blind, they all fall in a ditch. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, you know, you're in a place of victory. Don't let the enemy, convince you of anything else. I mean, I'm out there tonight and I'm praying and everything. And I said, God, I said, I just asked you to forgive me, Lord. Forgive me all of my shortcomings, God. See, we need to repent at times. You get in the presence of the Lord, I mean, you feel like you need to. You feel like, man, you know. And I told him, I said, God, use me tonight, God. I want to be effective tonight, God. God, if there's anything, Lord, just forgive me. I ask you to forgive me, and I receive it right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you, and we thank you.